Proverbs chapter number 1, and we've been moving through the idea of Christian character, looking at different character traits, and moving from last week of discernment into this week was the direction the Lord led me was to preach on godly wisdom and the need for wisdom. And really led to what we'll see is kind of a broader breakdown of a theme throughout the book of Proverbs, that is wisdom and its alternatives. I have observed for a while, and I like observing people. My wife sometimes doesn't like how much nosy I am sometimes, and we'll sit at a restaurant, and sometimes she'll see me zone out of a conversation because I'm listening to the one behind us, and we got fingers pointing throughout the auditorium. I might not be the only one. I like observing people. I think you can learn a lot from watching others. My sister's teaching Master's Club now downstairs, and she's often, I think, learned a lot of things what not to do by watching her older brothers make a bunch of boneheaded mistakes and do things that were wrong and get in trouble for it and fall on her face and say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I think it's good to be observant and to watch, and there are aspects of that are good. But something I've observed is there is a tendency amongst good Christians, I think, amongst people who love the Lord and desire a godly Christian life and would probably say, yes, I want to exemplify and to live out godly and Christ-like character, that aren't necessarily reaping the problems from, you know, open sin, but they're not making wise decisions. They're not operating in their life with wisdom. And what it tells me is that there is something missing in their walk with God, because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that wisdom is so, so necessary. There are a lot of aspects of decision-making that come down to what is God's will and finding his direct will, but there are day-to-day things that are very much based off of whether or not we're operating in the wisdom of God. There are certain decisions in our life that are either wise or just frankly unwise. So I want to look at the book of Proverbs. We're going to start right at the very beginning in Proverbs chapter number 1. We'll see several passages throughout the book of Proverbs as we go through this message this evening. But I want to start Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 1. It starts by saying, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." He's to say, this is the whole point of the book of Proverbs, is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and understanding. So wisdom and instruction. Pardon me. We're going to look at this passage and others throughout the book of Proverbs. And if you give me a few moments of your attention this evening, I believe there is a message that God has for every single one of us. I don't want you to sit through another message because it's what you're supposed to do. I want us to, in an honest way, open our hearts and look at the fact that there are some patterns in the book of Proverbs where on one end of the spectrum is the fool, and on the other end is the wise, and there are those in the middle. We want to identify where we are and make sure we're headed the right direction. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, it is so clear. Lord, I love your word. I love the book of Proverbs. It's hard not to read the book of Proverbs or to read it and not be convicted. I pray that you'd convict us with your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the greatest mistakes we make when reading Proverbs is assuming that as Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, he simply was giving isolated sayings. What many call a proverb today are maybe a few words, a verse or two. But it wasn't just isolated truths. There are some isolated truths. There are proverbs that we can memorize and learn just from them. But the Solomon here in the book of Proverbs is painting a picture of spiritual development. Proverbs in many ways is a manual of discipleship. It's a manual to say, hey, what should the heart of a Christian be doing or not doing? It begins with a person who knows very little and shows a path that God desires him to travel. The Bible says that in the heart of a child, foolishness is bound. So when we are born, we are all born with a little bit of foolishness. Some of us were born with a lot of bit of foolishness. But we get to a point where a lot of us could say when we're saved, we fall under the category of what the book of Proverbs calls the simple, or the simple man. And when we're newly saved, it is oftentimes where we start. And the Bible has a progression. You can go from simple to foolish, or you can go from simple to the understanding to the wise. There are options of progression. But many, instead of growing upwards, may reject God's instruction and move the opposite direction. Move from simple to the fool to the scorner. Most teenagers are simple. It's one of the reasons why I love preaching to young people, is because you say, well, they think they know it all, sure. But they've not been set in their ways by decades of doing it one way and decades of rebellion. They're simple, and they could go one way or they could go the other. And the opportunity and privilege to have an impact at that time is special. I tell you, that's similar to new Christians. New Christians who are so moldable and eager, and if they are guided the right direction, can go from being simple to being a man of understanding to being wise. So the question isn't whether or not we are or were simple in certain ways. The question is what direction are we moving? I want us to look at four kinds of people tonight. Instead of just looking at the idea of wisdom and saying this lofty goal to obtain, I want to look at four kinds of people. Not merely four personalities. All of us have different personalities. You can have whatever personality you have, and you can be wise or you can be a fool with that personality. But four stages of spiritual or Christian character. God wants every believer to continually be moving towards his wisdom. I tell you, nobody accidentally becomes wise, but nobody accidentally becomes foolish. It's about which path you follow. Both are a result of repeated choices. We choose which path we will go down. So start out with the simple. The simple says, I don't know. I don't know. Is there any problem with not knowing something? Usually not. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well unto his going. The Hebrew word here for simple carries the idea of being open, of being empty-minded. Everything can come in. Truth comes in. Error comes in. Wisdom even can come into their mind. False doctrine or godly influences or worldly influences. A simple person has not yet achieved what we spoke about last week when we talked about discernment, to be able to discern what we allow into our minds and into our hearts. A simple person says, I don't know. Not necessarily a sinful state, just not a mature state of a Christian. God expects children to be simple. There are a lot of things my children don't know. As a parent, it's one of the greatest blessings is to be able to teach and instruct your children to shape their worldview. And the awe and wonder as your kids get to Reagan's at that fun stage and age at 3 years old where things will click and I go, whoa, that is so neat. Things that we see as simple and mundane. God expects children to be simple. He doesn't expect adults, though, to remain in this category. So what are the characteristics of the simple? The simple man is easily influenced. Whatever voice is loudest usually wins when it comes to the simple person. I'd say this describes a lot of non-denominational evangelicals out there, where they're good-hearted, they're sincere, they probably desire to live for Christ, but they're simple-minded. Whatever is the influence is, that's the direction they'll go. Whatever sounds good, that's what they're going to follow. Whatever's loudest, whatever friends they have, that's going to push them that way. Whatever they see on social media will push them this way. Whatever they see on television, whatever the political climate is or culture says, whatever the loudest voice is wins. This is why Proverbs repeatedly warns young people about their companions, because young people usually fall into this category. It talks about he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You become who you spend time with. This doesn't really fall into the simple. I think it falls into the category of foolishness. But it baffles me, and I'm sure I'm guilty of this at times, but it baffles me when we can look at the Word of God. And the Word of God says, hey, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And we say, well, not me. When the Bible is so clear on a truth, yet we'll willingly decide that it doesn't apply to us. When we say to a young person, hey, young person, if you spend a lot of time with people like that, you will become like that. Speaking to a young person this week who identifies, say, hey, these people I'm spending time with, these people who I identify as my closest companions and friends, they are not right in this big area, in this big area, in this big area, and I don't want to grow up and be like them. Yet they're my closest friends. And we say, don't you think the Bible might be right when it says you will become like them? No, but I know who they are and I know what they're like and I know how to not become like them. Well, the devil's deceived that person. That's not even just simple, it's foolish. You become who you spend time with. It's not sinful to be simple-minded. We ought to be headed towards wisdom, and we'll get to that. But if you're a new Christian, if you're a young person, if you say, hey, I don't think I'm quite to the area of being dwelling in God's wisdom, which is all of us, we're all seeking his wisdom. You got to be careful who our influences are. We got to be careful not just who, but what influences we allow in our lives. They're easily influenced. They are also, the simple are naive. Naive. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. A simple person rarely asks, what would happen if I do this? They just react to situations. A prudent person, a wise person, is going to think ahead and say, hey, if I do this, what's going to happen? I tell you, the naivety can sometimes be, I don't know, entertaining when you see somebody super naive and they think everything's, you know, the world's just rainbows and smiley faces. It's entertaining, but it's actually dangerous. Dangerous. We have to realize that there is a real world out there with a real devil who's walking around seeking whom he may devour, who's after you, after your family, after your children, and wants to destroy your life. Naivety is a characteristic not of a mature and Christ-like Christian who's dwelling in the wisdom of God. Naivety is and thinking things are just going to work out is a characteristic of a simple-minded person. A wise person says, I want to weigh out my decisions. What are the outcomes of those decisions? They are easily influenced, they are naive, and they lack discernment. They lack discernment. Discernment is not just suspicion. Discernment is biblical judgment. I'm not going to dwell on this too far because we spoke about this last week. The simple believe anything. You know, if you told a simple person that Gullible is written on the ceiling, they'd look up. But they'll believe every preacher. They'll believe every headline, every internet expert. Hey, we heard one of the top experts that spoke as the authority of He Is Science plead the fifth 111 times yesterday. Hey, fooey with the experts. Discernment says, remember what it was? What does the Bible say on this? What does the Bible say on this? God never tells believers to swallow everything, to believe everything they hear. He tells us actually to test everything. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. There's a crossroads from coming from a point of a simple-minded man. And at some point, every simple-minded person will reach this crossroads, reach a fork in the road, and if he humbles himself, he can become an understanding man who is seeking after the wisdom of God. But if he resists instruction, he can become a fool. Simple is not the destination, it's a starting point. So what about the fool? If they resist instruction, the Bible says that if you come to the Word of God, if you come to instruction by the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, and you resist it, it says you've chosen your direction. You say, I don't like that part of the Word of God. I don't like when the preacher preaches that aspect of the Word of God, because I'm not willing to give in there. It's a hardening of the heart, really, is what it is. Because a fool doesn't say, I don't know. A fool says, I know better. I know better. A fool and a foolish man always starts with a lifting up of pride. This is where character can go in a danger, your character go in a dangerous direction. A fool is no longer ignorant. A fool becomes stubborn, arrogant about where he is, says, I'm never going to give this up. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. Uh-oh. That's foolishness. They know truth. They just simply refuse to live it. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, where we read right there, it said, Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't just ignore wisdom, they despise it. A fool is no longer just lacking the instruction like maybe the simple-minded man is. He's resisting truth. Progression of foolishness takes some steps. Nobody just wakes up one morning and decides to be a fool. It happens one decision at a time. one correction ignored. Can I tell you, the more often you chafe at and ignore specific instructions, the easier it is to continue to despise wisdom and instruction. The more correction is ignored and pride is embraced, the more often you take steps of ignoring sin in your life or silencing the Holy Spirit's conviction, hardening your heart, eventually foolishness becomes an encapsulating identity in the character of a Christian. So what are the characteristics of a fool? We looked at the simple-minded man. What about the foolish? He rejects correction. A fool despises his father's instruction. A fool hateth wisdom and instruction. A fool hateth correction. We can read throughout all of the book of Proverbs and see that a fool despises correction. Correction oftentimes feels offensive. Correction isn't just instruction. Instruction is information. Correction is saying your information is wrong. Where you stand is wrong. Here is truth to point you in the right direction. And it's easy to get offended at correction, because if somebody's telling you that something else is true, what they're saying is what you think is not true is wrong. And boy, we don't like that. We have a hard time handling that. And our pride starts flaring up. How dare they say I'm wrong? Well, I tell you that a fool is going to find it offensive. Instead of asking what God is trying to teach me, your reaction is, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? The key to this is it's not a preacher getting up and preaching my ideas. If it's the truth based on the Word of God, who we're really mad at, and what makes it foolish to get upset at correction if it's biblically based, is who we're really mad at and upset at is God. And how foolish to be mad at our Creator. A fool rejects correction. Fool also talks more than he listens. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. It seems like a modern day poster. Let your heart discover itself. Now, a fool's not listening. Fool's waiting to interrupt, waiting to argue. You ever find somebody that just has to take over every conversation, always has to argue that they're right? They look foolish. There's somebody I went to Bible college with, and I'm not going to name names, even though you wouldn't know who it is. I went to Bible college with a young man. He didn't end up staying for very long. But every conversation, you'd be talking about, I don't know, some historical event, I was reading about this, and isn't it interesting, or even talking Bible classes, talking about different things, and every situation, to the point where I would almost guarantee you he made up stories and was dishonest, he had to butt in and say, oh, but I've been there, and I know this, and I did this, and look at him like, really? Okay, everything had to be about himself. Everything had to please himself. Waiting to interrupt, waiting to argue, waiting to prove himself right. Something that my dad taught me early on when I was in high school and in college was, in a life ministering for Christ, there are things far more important than being proved right. When there's a disagreement between Christians, especially when you're trying to minister to somebody, there are things at times that are more important than winning an argument. Most times. Because usually winning an argument is at the cost of a relationship or the burning of a bridge to be able to continue to minister to somebody. So, but I proved to them that I'm right. You know, you proved to them that you're a jerk. That's what you proved. And that's foolish. Talk more than he listens. Fool also repeats mistakes. You say, that's sounding like a lot of us. Yeah, we all can act the fool at times. We all can. I'm not saying, hey, I'm preaching to the one foolish person here. Hey, we all fall into the trap of acting foolish at times. But foolish person repeats his mistake. The Bible actually uses a very graphic illustration in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, to describe a fool returning to his folly. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so does a fool his folly. And he says, you know, one of these gross things that dogs do is they'll throw up and then they'll go eat it. Isn't that awful? Yeah. Well, you do the same thing. When you sin, when you make mistakes, when you fall on your face, and you go right back to do the same thing. You say, wouldn't you learn? Sometimes I feel like I beat my head against the wall with my kids, with my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old. Well, wouldn't you learn? You're getting in trouble for the same things over and over again. And I think sometimes that's how God feels with us, is, well, Christian, won't you learn? You keep falling for the same folly. You're like a dog running and eating your own vomit. It's awful. Just learn. Seek understanding and wisdom. But a fool repeats his sinful mistakes. Consequences oftentimes don't impact a fool very much. Oftentimes from the outside, outside observers might, hoping for the best, might say, well, hopefully they'll learn from this. You might say something like that. Hopefully they learn now. But in the back of your mind, you realize, probably not. Unless there's a heart change, probably not. Probably not. A fool also always believes he is right. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That goes back to that concept of looking at the Word of God, seeing a plain truth in God's Word, and still arguing that I'm right. How foolish. This may be the greatest mark of foolishness, when a person cannot imagine ever being wrong. It's one of the first true signs of humility and maturity as a Christian is to be able to humbly admit that you are wrong. Oh, it's hard. It sure. Well, crucify that pride and admit, guess what? I'm often wrong. I'm often wrong. I'm terrible, especially with numbers. And I'll say things backwards. I forget what it was the other day. I was talking to my wife, and man, I switched numbers completely all around. Oftentimes when I'm doing announcements, I'll tell you we're doing something in 1 month, and it's actually a different month. Guess what? I'm clumsy when I walk, and I'm clumsy when I talk, and I am wrong often. And it's healthy to admit it. It's actually really good to admit that, hey, I was wrong. That wasn't correct. But then it takes a step further. When you are sinfully wrong, when you actually done something wrong, maybe you've done wrong towards a brother or sister in Christ. Hey, I look at Tavian. It's harder when it's your actual brother or sister. When you've really done wrong and you've got to go to Annalise and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Oh, man, it tastes awful, doesn't it? But a fool can't admit that they're wrong, believes that they're always right. He's become unreachable. Biblical examples of this, you think of Pharaoh. How many times Pharaoh hardened his heart? There'd be a plague come, and you think, for sure he'll give in. There's frogs everywhere. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. What a fool. Think of Saul. not Saul who became the Apostle Paul, but Saul, King Saul. Towards the end of his life, he just continued to demand his sinful ways were right. Each received repeated opportunities to change their ways and admit their wrong, but each of them hardened their hearts, rejected truth, always leads to hardened hearts. And that's a mark of a fool. So the simple mind says, I don't know. The foolish man says, I know better. But what if, as a simple-minded person, you go the other direction? The other direction takes you to the step of the understanding. The understanding says, teach me to know. Goes from I don't know, and not saying I know better, but teach me to know. The progression changes. This is one of the most beautiful descriptions in Proverbs. The understanding believer has discovered a life-changing truth, and that is, I have a lot to learn. And we ought to all have that heart. I have a lot to learn. You know what? You realize then the more you learn, the more you seek and dig and study out in the Word of God, you realize even more, I have a lot more to learn. I have a lot more to go. Ironically, realizing, coming to the conclusion in your heart that I have a lot to learn is where wisdom begins. That conclusion itself is wise. Proverbs chapter 1. We read this verse number 5 there in that passage that we read. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man here of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. What is it saying? Hey, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. And it says the understanding man, hey, he's going to go find wise counsel. He's going to go find people who will teach and instruct. Instead of like the foolish person who hates instruction and is resisting correction, the understanding person is seeking it. He's saying, hey, will you help me understand this? Will you help me teach this? I need more instruction. I need more correction. And you say, hey, what is that? That's the first step towards wisdom and away from being foolish. He hears, then he grows. Growth doesn't happen if you're not listening. My mom drilled certain things into us kids. It was good thing, good, mostly good things. One of those things is there's a difference between hearing and listening. A big difference between hearing and listening. You ever find yourself in a conversation and somebody's talking and you get to a point where you're trying to figure out what we're talking about now because you zoned out? I heard somebody say and I think it's true, that if you're having a conversation with me and I get to my fourth wow, okay, wow, that's crazy, I'm done. I'm done listening to the stories. There's some folks that just can talk. And there's the step of hearing, that's a physical step where your ears function. And if they don't, you got hearing aids and to help that. That you hear it. But then another step of listening. Listening has to do with engaging the mind about what you hear. We have some people who have taught classes. I know as I preach up here, it's easy to look out and see the faces in the audience who is hearing and who might be actually listening. If a young person is nodding off and going to sleep, they're probably not listening. If somebody's nodding and following right along, they probably are listening. It's interesting how you can almost see in somebody's face whether or not they're actually engaged. But it says right here, we can see that this growth starts by listening to instruction and increasing learning. So what are the characteristics of an understanding person? Well, first of all, we've looked at and touched on this, but first of all, an understanding man has a teachable, or woman, has a teachable spirit. Understanding people ask questions. You say, but an understanding person, wouldn't they understand it? Well, what I find interesting is I have certain people that I see how they live their life, and I like reading about their life and studying it. And when you find people who've been successful and done great things, you usually realize that they were great students. I'm not just saying in a classroom, but everywhere. There's somebody I really, really looked up to, had a huge impact on my life, and huge success. And you say, hey, highly intellectual. But it wasn't from any degrees or classrooms. What it was is any time he found somebody he thought had wisdom, which was often, he sought out those people, that wise counsel, and he said, would you teach me? I've got all these questions. I want to learn from you. They say that takes humility. Yeah. Yeah. It takes the opposite of a fool. Remember, a fool thinks they're right and they're already set in their ways. What could anybody have to teach me? I tell you that when it comes to the opening of the Word of God, there's a whole lot we can be taught just from these pages. We ought to have a teachable spirit. Fools argue, but understanding people seek to learn. You have to be like a sponge desiring to soak up truth and wisdom. Another characteristic of the understanding person is a humble spirit. A humble spirit. I find it interesting. The Bible talks about how the first shall be last and last shall be first. It's talking about how humbling yourself will actually lift you up, and lifting yourself up in pride will actually bring you down. Is that when you observe somebody who's lifted up in pride, they look about this big and they look pretty dumb. But then you see observe somebody who's authentically humble and has a humble spirit. It's actually very admirable. And if you're wise, it's something that you hold in high regard. Humble spirit says, I don't know everything. At times I am wrong and need correction. I want to learn truth and wisdom. But the proud says, I already know. I've heard that before. I've heard this one before. There are Christians who sit in church, and as soon as a pastor starts on a topic or a passage, they'll check out, tune out, because I've heard that one before. I don't have anything to learn. I've been around this block before. The moment we believe we've arrived, we stop growing and understanding. Person of understanding also desires counsel. If you find yourself trying to duck and dodge the godly counsel he has placed in your life, beware. You might be a fool, or at least acting the fool in that moment. A man of understanding desires counsel. Understanding Christians seek advice before making decisions, not afterwards. I find it interesting. There are two different hearts of the believer that comes to a pastor. One of them comes saying, hey, I've got this situation. Would you pray for me? Do you have any advice or instruction in this situation? And I tell you, as a pastor, it puts a huge weight of responsibility and scares me to death. One of the first few times I started realizing that people were actually following my advice, it scares me. Because guess what? The Bible says, I will stand before God and give an account for how I led his flock. That I watch for your souls. As your pastor, God has ordained me to be in this leadership role as a pastor. And I'll stand before God on how I lead and direct your life and your families. Whew, that's scary. But there are Christians, some Christians come to the pastor and say, hey, this is my situation. I don't know what to do. Would you help? Would you give counsel? Would you pray with me? Then there's the other side of the coin, a Christian that come to the pastor and say, hey, this is this situation. This is a decision I made. Just wanted to let you know. They say, which one is wise and of understanding. Well, the one that desires counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The bigger the decision I have to make in my life, the more counselors I seek. And you say, who do you seek? Who's your pastor? Well, I've sought out pastors who I've seen be successful over the years in ministry, and I seek their counsel. And I'm blessed to have a relationship with many who are in that situation. But a man of understanding desires counsel. A man of understanding also learns from failure. Some people, when they get bitter because of failure. Some people give up because of failure. Some people, like the foolish person, are so stuck in their ways, they continue to repeat the same mistakes and continue to fail. But a man of understanding, they learn from failure. Failure becomes a classroom. Fool wastes failure by returning to his folly. An understanding person says, hey, in this area I was acting a fool. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to move forward for the Lord. That's the understanding person. I think then of the last category, and that is the wise. If you seek understanding, an understanding man then gains wisdom. Why? Because he asked of God. The simple person says, I don't know. The foolish person says, I know better. The understanding person says, teach me what I must know. The wise person will say, I will live what I now know. Wisdom is not knowing. Wisdom is doing. Wisdom is action. It's living and making decisions in wisdom. Many Christians have accumulated Bible knowledge, and I'm determined some of the most unwise Christians out there are standing in Bible college classrooms teaching. I've dealt with some of them. The more I've dealt with, the less I like. It's one of these things where they're so full of knowledge, yet so empty of wisdom. Far fewer consistently practice wisdom and Bible knowledge. Knowledge fills the mind, and you can spew out facts. Wisdom governs your life, though. Wisdom is applying those truths wisely to every situation, to every conversation, to every action, to every interaction one with another. Wisdom, though, begins with God. It actually begins with the worship of God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Not worship like the world today calls worship and running around. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom doesn't begin in a college classroom. Wisdom begins on your knees before God. You want wisdom? Ask of God. You want wisdom? Get on your knees in fear of God. You want to make wise decisions in your family? You ought to fear God when it comes to your family. You ought to have the fear of the Lord when it comes to ministry. People ask about God's will, and I tell you, you ought to fear not being in God's will. It'll drive you to your knees to find it. People who truly fear God think differently. We act and live differently. You speak differently. You parent differently. And you definitely lead differently. So what are the characteristics of a wise Christian? Well, you think long term. You're not narrow-minded. Well, right here, right now, this is what I want. Well, what does God want? Maybe right here, right now, he wants you to struggle because he wants you to learn from it and do this later. Every decision for a wise man is viewed in the scope of eternity. They think long-term on an eternal basis. wise person also, and I'm trying to hurry here, guards their tongue. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. So what's a hallmark of a wise person? Hold your tongue. Sometimes wisdom isn't just saying the right thing. Sometimes wisdom is saying nothing, at least for a while. Learn to hold your tongue. Usually the first and sometimes the second thing that comes to your mind is probably not the thing you should say. The Bible says we ought to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Why? Because we ought to speak with wisdom from God instead of worldly wisdom, which is just our own foolishness. They know when to answer. I tell you, guard our tongue. I think there's a danger with modern technology. It's something I don't know what the cure to it is. But answers are expected immediately. People will text you, and as soon as you receive that text, they expect you to, oh, you ought to get that ding. You pick up your phone and answer it right away. You know what? Sometimes you ought not to. Sometimes you ought to think about it, pray about it, and give the right answer instead of the first answer. And it actually was, I think, a healthier society when it took longer to give an answer. But you ought to train yourself. And people might get upset, well, he didn't answer. Well, maybe they're trying to figure out the right answer to give you in wisdom. They do know when to answer. Proverbs 26 gives remarkable discernment. Sometimes engaging multiplies foolishness. I had a conversation with somebody this week where they got in a big argument with somebody who was denying truths of God's word, and it devolved into this shouting match. You know what that is? That's answering a fool to make ourselves foolish. Proverbs chapter 26 talks about this, that it says at times you need to discern, because at times you ought not answer a fool, because it just makes you a fool too. Don't join in there with their folly. But sometimes our silence is just allowing error to spread. Sometimes we have to give an answer so that the folly is not overlooked. Wisdom knows the difference. This is why discernment, not just rules and going through the motions, but true biblical discernment and wisdom is so important when it comes to Christian maturity. A wise man also does not abandon the hallmark of an understanding man of continuing to learn and be teachable. One of the greatest differences between the wise man and everyone else is that a wise man never believes they are wise. Never believes they have gained enough wisdom. The more they know God, the more they realize how much they still desperately need Him. So what is the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is wherever we are, wherever we've been operating. In some areas, preacher, I've been operating as a fool. Yeah, me too sometimes. Sometimes I'm operating in a simple-minded way. I don't know. Well, we ought to be headed towards understanding and wisdom. That ought to be the character we ought to instill in our lives. Jesus was a perfect example of a wise person. Every one of these characteristics. He invited his Father's will, humbled himself to the will of the Father. He answered critics with truth, yet he remained silent and stood in silence as others mocked before Herod. He exposed hypocrisy, yet he loved sinners and feared God the Father publicly. The book of Proverbs points us ultimately to Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Talking about Jesus. The goal of a Christ-centered character and godly character is not merely to become a wise person. It's definitely not to seek worldly wisdom. It's to become more Christ-like. So every one of us, in different areas of our life, might be different aspects of the spectrum, but every one of us is somewhere on this spectrum laid out in the book of Proverbs. I didn't touch as much on the other total end with a scorner. Foolish become a scorner because we're here, we're listening, we're seeking God's word. A scorner is going to call out and mock and kind of take foolishness to the extreme. Some of us might be simple. Some have become foolish because we continually reject God's correction. Some are growing in understanding and some are becoming wise. I tell you, encouraging truth is that your present condition does not have to be your permanent one. That we ought to be seeking understanding. The Bible says that we ought to buy wisdom and truth and sell it not. Every correction we receive, we ought to respond with wisdom. Every sermon you hear, you ought to receive in wisdom. Every chapter of scripture you read ought to add to wisdom. Every trial you endure ought to lead you in understanding. Let's choose humility. Let's seek understanding and walk in the fear of the Lord, becoming wise. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. God's not holding wisdom hostage. It says he'll give it to anybody who comes to him. But many of us are seeking wisdom in all the wrong places. Let's not be a fool. Let's not be content just being simple-minded. Let's seek understanding in the wisdom of God and apply that to our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Lord, you are so good to us. I ask that, Lord, that in every aspect of our lives that we would be Christians who dwell in wisdom and understanding. Lord, that we'd seek you, that we'd seek to learn from you, that we'd love your instruction. In Jesus' name I pray.